the things that were going on in my life that were so hard for me to deal with were constructed by my own like expectations of what my happiness was going to be.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Welcome and thank you for joining us on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. First of all, and I haven't done this enough, but I want to thank all of my subscribers. Thank you so much, sincerely, for listening to me every week and really enjoying what we've created here on Far Betterment. And if you haven't subscribed, please don't forget to do so. You can find us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Overcast, pretty much any platform that you listen to podcasts, you can find Far Betterment. And second of all, please don't forget to rate us 5 stars on those platforms. It helps us tremendously. I mean, it helps us grow and be visible and lets others know that you're enjoying what we're doing and that we're worth listening to. So thank you if you've already done that. And if you haven't, please do. In this episode, I'm joined by Jack Stewart, co-host of Emmy Award-winning ABC TV show Rock the Park. Rock the Park can be found on ABC on Saturday mornings, or you can find it on YouTube now, where you can stream episodes of Rock the Park in their entirety on their YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to Rock the Park on YouTube to check those out. You can also find Jack on his personal YouTube channel and his vlog, The Pursuit is Happiness. Make sure you subscribe to that as well. The Pursuit is Happiness is a deeper look into Jack's life and the experiences he's had along the way and the relationships he's built through those experiences. So be sure to check that out on YouTube. The Pursuit is Happiness from Jack Stewart. I just wanted to take a little bit of time here to thank Jack for fulfilling a full circle moment for me. When I started this podcast, Jack was one of the people that I told myself I really wanted to get on. And never in a million years would I have thought, you know, especially when I started this podcast, would I have thought that I would just be able to reach out to somebody and they would be so warm and receptive and kind and enthusiastic, which, you know, caught me by surprise, but I was so glad to be met with that response. So thank you to him for that and for making this such an enjoyable experience. So without further ado, here's Jack Stewart for Far Betterment.
Hello.
Hey, Jack, how's it going? It's Andrew from Far Betterment.
Hey, man. Good. It's great. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. You know, it really means a lot that you took the time out. And, you know, I'm sure you're absolutely slammed, busy all the time.
Well, it's not, you know, it's busy doing projects that I want to do. It's not necessarily stuff I have to do, but it's still, it's like keeping up with my vlogs and all that stuff. So it's, you know, it's fun stuff, but it's a little busy, but I got out surfing this morning. So life is good.
Oh, that's awesome. How long have you been surfing for, actually? I know that's kind of a weird question, but it hasn't been that long, right? But you go quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been surfing for about a year. So, just a little bit over a year, and I love it. It's like my favorite outdoor activity now. I just absolutely love it. And I'm still progressing. I'm getting a little bit better, but it is so much fun. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because I was watching you on The Pursuit is Happiness, which is your vlog, in case anybody out there wants to find it. And you seem pretty good, man. I gotta say.
Well, thank you. Do you surf at all?
No, not at all. Okay. I'm like one of those, scared of the ocean kind of people. waiting for a shark to come get me. Yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I think that's why I try to cling to that that motto, the pursuit is happiness, because I'm loving where I'm at, but then, and you know, I'll have like an awesome session and then I get back and I watch like the video of it and I'm like, it looks a little janky, but you know, hey, it's been a year. Surfing is one of those sports that is just, it's tedious. You really got to stay on it. So I appreciate the kind words. I feel great about where I'm at and I'm excited to keep moving. But, you know, when you're out there with all these people that have been doing it for a long time, it humbles you for sure.
Oh, I'm sure. But we need that, I think, as humans.
Absolutely.
We need to be humbled. I guess just kind of to start off, which I mean, we basically already have, but you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, where you came from and how you got started, and I guess a little bit about how you got interested in film and you know, how Rock the Park came about and stuff.
Yeah, totally. So in case anyone doesn't know, my name is Jack Stewart, and I host a show on ABC called Rock the Park. It's a travel adventure show about exploring national parks and wild places. I host it with my best friend, Colton Smith. We go way back to we met in second grade, actually. So we've been buddies for a very long time. And I also just recently started a YouTube channel called The Pursuit is Happiness. And basically that is just about my it's about my own personal journey trying to navigate life and find happiness in the day-to-day moments and victories that really make up this greater journey of you know, life and existence. So that's in the short what I do. I do those two different things, but basically I'm a guy who just loves adventure. I love trying new things. I love just being out and feeling like, I don't know, like being in the moment and almost being forced into the moment. And I think nature and adventure really does that for you. When you're on a surfboard and a massive wave is coming at you, you have no choice but to be present in that moment. And the same goes for, you know, climbing a mountain or rafting a river. So I love to be present in the moment. I love just really experiencing life for what it is. But then my mission beyond just like, you know, experiencing that in nature is to bring that into my everyday life. Cause I think we can live our lives that way as well and really find ways to appreciate where we're at, you know, in our journey, whether you're in the best, you know, in the highest highs or, you know, in a valley, I think we can find joy in the moment wherever we're at. So that's been kind of my recent journey, but I got into film because I grew up in Minnesota. Both my parents are involved in media. My mom was a television anchor for about 20 years. My dad was a reporter, still is. That's actually how they met. Was they both worked at the local ABC affiliate in Minneapolis. Actually, maybe it was the CBS at that time. They worked for both of them. But I grew up with cameras and always loved making movies for fun. Well, at the same time, my parents have always been kind of experience-driven people, and they loved to travel, so they took us to national parks. And I remember the first time I went to Yellowstone and saw mountains for the first time, I was just enamored with this feeling that I had. And I didn't know what it was, and now I know it to be, you know, this feeling of awe and wonder. But it overtook me. I was just so inspired, and I knew right then and there that I wanted to be able to go out into these places as much as I could. So I ended up going to college in Montana, and long story short, I studied photojournalism there and would do all my assignments in the parks. And then Colton ended up coming out and transferring to the University of Montana. And we started going on these adventures, and one thing led to another. And uh, we we ended up pitching a show about us exploring national parks. And we've been doing it now for over 5 years. We're shooting our sixth season of the show. So that's the short history there.
I love Rock the Park.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of how I got introduced to you guys through that show. I had been, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I had been in like kind of a low place and trying to figure out like what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And just had been kind of stuck in a rut for quite a while. And then I started watching this show and, you know, I grew up in Colorado, so, you know, I'm surrounded by mountains and stuff. And we never went to the parks, really. We never did anything like that. I lived in the city and we just kind of stayed there. And if you grow up in Colorado, you kind of take that stuff for granted. And then I saw the Rock the Park and I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm missing out on all this stuff. And it really did kind of change my direction, I guess. Cause I started,
that's incredible.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really did. I mean, I started traveling a lot more with my family and we really changed like from a work all the time kind of attitude to an enjoy life and experiences kind of attitude just through that.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you guys for that. I mean, that was, it's funny, but I told my wife when I started this podcast, I was like, I want to get, you know, Jack and Colton on here someday. So it's kind of cool to like be full circle now, you know, and so that's why I really appreciate you doing this so much.
Well, that's super cool. And honestly, you know, I think what I've learned throughout the years of doing this and going to these places is that when you know, whether you're exposed to them, you know, national parks and wild places through Rock the Park or through your own experience or from a friend or a family member, it unlocks something inside of us. And I think it's this like thing that is ingrained into our humanity, just this need to simplify and to get back to where we came from, which is nature. And I think that's what I experienced as a kid and still experience today. And it sounds like that's what you discovered through Rock the Park. And I just, that brings me so much joy to hear that, you know, that something we did maybe sparked that for you and that, you know, I'm able to come on to your podcast. I'll admit to you, I am a major fan of so many different things. And I've had moments where, you know, one of the crazy things through Rock the Park is one of my favorite band of all time. I just reached out to them when I was at a concert and they reached back and were like, oh my gosh, we've heard of your show. And then they ended up doing our theme song for 2 years. And that was kind of a full circle moment for me because we listened to their music in the parks. And then now they're doing our theme song. So I love stuff like that. And I can appreciate just, you know, having something like this come full circle. So that's really cool to hear.
No, I mean, thank you guys, you know, for having that vision, I guess, of what humanity should be, because I think, and I guess this is kind of just my own opinion, but I think we're missing that, like that simplification that you said, you know, everything's totally so complicated. And I mean, are you pinching yourself all the time, you know, you know, doing this with your best friend and getting to travel and, or is it kind of, it doesn't seem like it's monotonous now. It seems like you're still very excited about it.
Yeah, you know, so I will admit this. After a couple of years of doing it, I fell into this sort of a rut. You know, I realized that I didn't feel like I had any sense of direction. I was just kind of going with the flow, but not in a good way. And it became routine for me. And I think that is part of the trap of doing something you love for work is it can become routine and it can lose that spark and that magic. Mm-hmm. And that happened. And then personally, I didn't like where I was headed. I had all of these issues that were just kind of like plaguing me. And I had to kind of discover like, okay, who am I? And so I ended up feeling like, okay, I need to take like a solo trip. I'd never really done a solo camping trip before. I was like a solo trip into Death Valley, which was this park that really I loved, but I'd only been there like once before, but it was so intriguing to me. Well, anyways, I went and did that. And that was like 3 years ago. And that trip absolutely changed my life. And it started me on this whole new path of, really being more intentional with how I live my life. And to answer your question, it was then that I discovered that, like, okay, yes, you get to do these things, but you know, if you allow it to become, something you have to do, you know, for the show or whatever, or if you only experience these places in a work environment, you're going to lose that spark and you're going to lose that inspiration that they gave you in the first place. So I decided, you know, I need to make nature and exploring and solitude a part of my life outside of the show. And so about 3 years ago, I made that decision. And ever since then, I have been on this wild ride where I do show up every single day. I might be tired or I might be sick. I just got sick last week while we were filming, but I do show up just so eager to see what we're going to discover that day and to be able to share that with other people. And so I guess the answer to that is we are excited. We are still really enjoying the journey, but it takes an intentional, you have to be intentional about that. You have to tell yourself like, all right, let's go out there and we're living the dream. Let's do it. Because otherwise you can fall into the trap of letting it become routine. And, ever since I learned that lesson, things have been really, really great. My life has changed for the better.
Do you find that journey, and not just through Rock the Park, but also through the pursuit of happiness. Do you find that really like complements your life, or is that something that you've kind of created as like an outlet?
You know, I think Rock the Park, the origins of Rock the Park were definitely, it was my life at the time. Mm-hmm. And it definitely is a part of my life, but due to the nature of the show, it's this educational show. I think it's this picture of what I love to do. I love to go out and explore, but I think the pursuit is happiness. The reason that has been so fulfilling for me is that really is a mirror of my life. I'm able to fully express thoughts and ideas that I have. And really be able to communicate those to the audience and to people and bring them along for the ride. So I think the pursuit of happiness is closer than it's ever been before. Whereas Rock the Park is like, yeah, you know, it's what we do when we go out and visit these places, but it's, you know, I guess there's more to me and more that I like to do beyond that. And so that's where the vlog really comes in. And that's why I've been enjoying that, I think, so much.
Do you think there's going to be a point where you go straight to the vlog all the time and just kind of like move on from Rock the Park? Or, I mean, I know that's kind of a weird question, a controversial question to ask.
You know, I think all good things come to an end eventually. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when that'll happen, but I'm sure it will. You know, I'm sure there will come a point where Rock the Park has to end. And when it does, you know, I think I'll be content with that, because we have done so much. And, you know, it's like anything, you know, if you trust, you have faith, like, you know, something else is going to come along, and whether it's the vlog or whether it's another show or whether it's something completely different, I know it'll be great. And we've done so much with it that, I'll be okay with that, but I know that day will come eventually. I'm just not sure when, but for now, oh my gosh, it is giving me just like you were saying, it's like the dream, you know, it's this lifestyle that I love of being able to see this world and share it with other people and enable me to do things even with my personal vlog, The Pursuit is Happiness. So I'm so grateful for it, and I will ride that wave as long as we can.
Well, not to mention you guys have won an Emmy for that show. I mean, so that's incredible as well. And congratulations, obviously.
Thanks so much. No, it's crazy. I'm in my living room. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you very much. It's a good reminder. It's like, okay, when things get hard, it's like, all right, you know, this is not only do people love this, but you know, we have something. I have this thing that says it's a good show. So.
Absolutely. I mean, was that like a surreal experience for you guys? That must have been insane.
That was season one. I mean, we weren't even, you know, we didn't even know what we were doing. Not that we really do now, but we really didn't know what we were doing then. And so to win that was just crazy. And there's a video on my YouTube page of us winning that. And the video speaks for itself. We were pretty blown away.
How do you and Colton like compliment each other? I mean, I know, you know, people have best friends and stuff. You don't really hang out all the time, but you do, you know, it's one of those friendships where you guys don't lose any time in between, you know? How do you guys compliment each other being out on the road so much together? I mean, that must be.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so the cool thing about Colton and me is that we're very different. So like Colton is very much, he wears his heart on his sleeve. Like anything, you know, if he's tired, you're going to know about it. If he's excited, you're going to know about it. If he's freaked out, you'll know. He's very much vocal with that and just kind of projects whatever is going on in his brain. Whereas I'm much more of the calculated, you know, internalizing, not in a bad way. I like to just think things through. So I don't just immediately shout out what I'm feeling. I kind of like to make sense of it. And in fun ways, you know, Colton's definitely, he's messy. He's a little more like, let's just get up and go, where I'm much more organized. You know, we complement each other in really good ways. Whereas like when we're out in the wilderness, you know, I'm much more of the planner, you know, like let's get out the map and make sure we know where we're going. Where Colton's kind of the let's just go, let's dive straight into it. And the reason that complements each other well is like sometimes he'll be able to get me excited to do something that maybe I would be a little more in my head about. Whereas I can rein him in a little bit and say, all right, well, let's at least think this through a little bit and make sure we're safe and we have all these things. So we do mesh together well in that sense. But then also, you know, after all these years, we know each other in and out. We're brothers at this point. So like, I know what's going to get on his nerves. He knows what's going to get on my nerves. And after pushing those buttons for decades, we know now like, okay, I know when to give Colton his space and vice versa. So on the road, we do pretty well. We work as a great team. And I think that is what made our show or makes our show So work so well is the fact that we're a good duo, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's really cool to see. I think everybody wants that, like going on a trip with their best friend and you know, exploring in nature and stuff. So you guys really embody that. So it's really cool to watch.
Thanks.
How has your guys' friendship changed over the course of not just the show, but like just, you know, over the years, I guess?
Yeah, no, totally. It definitely does change. You know, when we were young, we would do all this stuff together, and then high school came around and we sort of drifted apart, but still would, you know, hang out every now and then. And then it was college that we really sort of came back together because I invited him out on this this trip out to Montana to visit my friends, and that's when he ended up transferring to school there. And so that's when it really was on. That's when we were like, we were back together again and in the same place and exploring and all that stuff. And then we got Rock the Park after college. And so we've been, you know, for better or for worse, we are not only best friends, but we're business partners, and we, you know, we have to work together. So we've definitely had to navigate that. And we've had seasons where we're closer and seasons where we've drifted a bit. But when it really comes down to it, I think the way our friendship functions so well now is like, we're brothers. It's not like I don't look at it anymore like we're just like best friends. We're family. So like, even if we're in a season of like drifting, we know we're going to come back. And so we don't worry about that. It's not like, you know, Colton, I don't know if he's announced this or not, but like Colton just got married actually. So like, obviously right now, like he's just got married, you know, he's off in his own world with that, rightfully so. You know, I know that, you know, we're brothers, like we're going to come back around, but we're going to start, you know, doing more stuff again and whatever. So it's like, that's what's cool about it, is it's like, there's a confidence that knows that like, we're going to be buddies forever. We're going to be brothers forever. So there's no need to stress about the little stuff. And that's what's really cool about it. And that's my biggest takeaway from this relationship is that, you know, if you maintain relationships, you can have security in those relationships, and even know that if people do drift a little bit, that you're going to come back, as long as you guys are, you know, both people are willing to invest in that. And Colton and I will be brothers for life. So it's a long story, but it's we've gone in twists and turns, but we're always close as ever.
I think that's really cool. I mean, that's it's hard to find those kind of relationships, and obviously That's only one part of you. You know, there's obviously way more to you than just Colton and Jack.
for sure.
So, you know, where did the idea? I mean, I know you kind of talked about this a little bit, but where did the idea for Rock the Park come from? And like, what was pitching a show like?
So yeah, the idea, Colton and I would go, he would come out with me while I would shoot my assignments for my photojournalism classes, but we would document our adventures along the way. And I would make these little videos just for fun. Cause I grew up doing that. And actually Colton was in a lot of my movies, our movies growing up. So we both kind of just like would make videos for fun. So we started off doing that. And then I was working in TV because I always knew I was going to do this, not in front of the camera, but behind the camera. And I met up with Colton in Zion National Park to just go on another trip. And we filmed the whole thing, and it turned into this 30-minute long, like I guess nowadays it would be considered a vlog. That was back before vlogs really were a thing. But it was really funny, and it was really entertaining. Well, anyways, I showed my mom, who, like I said, she started this production company, and I just showed her because it was like, well, here's our trip. And she loved it. She was like, you know what? There might be an idea for a show here, and encouraged me to put together a pitch. And what that looks like, or what it looked like then, was what we call a sizzle reel, which is basically a trailer. It's like a 3 to 5 minute long trailer that shows, okay, this is what the show is. So Colton and I went out, roped my brother into it, my cousin. We got the people we had available to us, and we filmed a couple adventures. We filmed some interviews, and I edited together this sizzle reel, and we gave it to the production company, to our agents. The agents are like the people that pitch shows, or at least have this relationship with different networks and stuff. And the agents were like, this is great. This is a television show. Cause my mom was thinking like, oh, maybe it'll be a web series or something. They were like, no, this is television. So we pitched it around, and we got a lot of, just like different responses. At the time we were like 23, 24. And so like Travel Channel was like, it's good, but the guys are too young. Like they're too young for our demographic. Other places were like saying the same thing. And so we found this group, or this company called Litton Entertainment, who does, has all these different educational blocks on different networks like ABC, CBS. I think they have one on NBC, and they loved it, and it fit right in because we're going to national parks. So it's educational by nature. And so they liked the show, and we were off to the races. And we started off doing it for the CW network. And then after our first season, switched over to ABC. And that's where we've been for the last 5 years or so.
How did you guys deal with, like, all the, you know, it's good, but not for us? Like, how did you guys deal with that? Why didn't you guys quit?
I mean, we were kind of, I was kind of expecting that, you know, like at least at the beginning, like the thought of having my own TV show seemed like an impossible thing. Like it was almost like too good to be true. So when we heard those things, sadly, it kind of was at the time I was like, okay, well that makes sense. You know, like this would be too good to be true. But we knew we had something, and I was getting so much encouragement from other people. My brother, especially, I remember he said like, no, like this is a good idea. Like you need to like believe in this. And that really stuck with me. So we did, we kept pitching it around, and thankfully I was working at the time. So like, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, you know, it's this or nothing. Like if I don't have this, like what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I was working. Colton was actually looking to join the Navy. So he was like training for that. Yeah. So we had other things going on. We just hung in there and had faith that the right thing would happen. And it did. And yeah.
Well, I guess the rest is history. Yeah,
totally.
So you said you wanted, you know, you never really had intentions of having a TV show and you wanted to work behind the camera. What were your intentions behind the camera?
I've always been a producer, director. I love creating videos. Like, you know, like you said, I made movies growing up. I have the eye for like producing and directing. So directing the cameras, making sure we're getting the story, putting it together. And that's also really served me well for Rock the Park, because a lot of times we can't have a producer with us by nature of the adventure. We're like climbing a mountain or whatever, you know, where you can only have a couple people. So that's really worked well for that, as well as for my personal vlog, The Pursuit is Happiness, because I'm able to do a lot of this stuff on my own. I was also an editor, or am an editor. So I love to edit. I have so much fun editing. It's what I'm going to be doing all day today for my vlogs. And so that's what I really thought I would do. I was never, you know, I never thought I'd be in front of the camera, I guess. So that was a very interesting surprise, and I definitely love it. And I know that I do have a talent for that now too. So yeah, it's a nice surprise. It was cool to find something new that I wasn't expecting. I think that's kind of what life is too. It's like you can follow all these plans and paths that you think you're going on, but then sometimes the thing that you're best at has been right under your nose the whole time and you just don't realize it. And that's what happened with this. It's like, oh, this passion I have for nature and the fact I've been making these movies and starring in them just for fun. Like who knew? Like I've been training myself for this without even knowing. So that's kind of how it worked out.
Well, you can really tell like in your vlogs, the production value is like really high. It's not your typical, like, just here I am carrying a camera, you know, pointed at myself.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's very, the production value is really, really high.
I appreciate that. That's awesome.
So you were talking about, you know, and this is swinging way back, but you were talking about, you know, being in ruts and stuff and going to Death Valley. Is that typically how you deal with, you know, being in a low place, going to, you know, taking a trip by yourself, or how do you deal with those?
Well, so at the time I needed like a radical change. I did not like who who I was at that time. I didn't know who I was really. Like, I was like angry and like frustrated. I was living in Los Angeles, which I still am. But at the time, like I felt like I don't have any friends other than the people like I knew already when I came out here. And like, I was just really struggling. And so I knew that I needed some sort of a change of, perspective, I guess. And so I needed to be kind of, I needed to sit with my own thoughts. I guess there's so much noise in our life and you can really become overtaken by the expectations of others. So I knew that like, if I'm going to figure this stuff out, I need to go out and like really sit with myself and listen to these things that I may not like that I hear, you know, from my inner dialogue. And so I started journaling and I went out to Death Valley and I was just completely by myself. And what really got me was the first night I was camping out was terrifying. It was dark. There were bats swarming around me. And like, it sounds funny, but it's like at the time it was really terrifying. Like I was so afraid. And I remember I ended up in my car sleeping in there. And I put on like, I had my iPad. I put on like an episode of Family Guy. And I was like, okay, well, this will at least like, you know, I can fall asleep maybe to this. And I was so terrified. And I remember waking up the next morning to the sunrise and the joy I felt was just overwhelming. It was like, it was this beautiful sunrise. And I was like, I did it. Like I made it. And that's when I realized that like, the things that were going on in my life that were so hard for me to deal with were constructed by my own like expectations of what my happiness was going to be. And that last night, that terrifying night out in the wilderness, was me living life completely in the moment. And yes, it was a little frightening, but I stuck through it. And the next day, like the sunrise was so gorgeous. And it sort of gave me this picture for what I need to do moving forward. And so I guess to answer your question, like how do I deal with ruts and low places is I do like to dive into self-reflection and solitude. And I'm also a Christian. So for me, like my faith is a very much wrapped into that. Mm-hmm. But for me, like if I do it in Death Valley, great. But I've also learned how to do so at home to really be able, you know, like if something is really bothering me or it's something that is I'm struggling with, I try to really find time to be able to quiet down and reflect and really start to look at what's going on and make sense of that. And I also like to do that with other people. So with friends and family, I'm really big into like supporting one another and like leaning on others when you're in need as well. So for me, it's solitude, self-reflection, and just relationships really are the key for me to getting through hard times.
You talked about, you know, your expectations at that point. What do you think your expectations of yourself are now?
Yeah. So back then, you know, I thought like, okay, I need to be popular, you know, like you're on TV. So you're like my Instagram following, like we need more awards. We need to grow in all these ways. I wanted a relationship. I wanted a girlfriend and I was expecting that I would get that in the wrong ways. I just had all of these expectations that were easily being shattered, like, because they were so, they weren't built on a foundation of anything. So now my expectations for myself is like, I just want to live the best life that I can and be intentional with my time. My expectations of myself nowadays are to grow the relationships that I have in my life. Like that is the most important thing to me. And that does take intentionality because especially in a place like Los Angeles, you know, my friends are all over, my family is spread all over. It's not easy to just get up and go see them. So you have to really want to grow those relationships. And so for me, that's what my expectation of myself is that I will continue to push myself forward, and then also grow the relationships that I have with other people and just enjoy the moment. Like, life is so much better than we think it is, but because it's easy to look at all the things we don't have, but when you look at what you do have, you really can find some amazing things. And if you push yourself out of your comfort zone, I truly believe you learn things about yourself that you never could imagine you would find out. And for me, surfing is one of the prime examples of that. Like, it's my favorite thing to do now. And it was in one of those like low points that I decided to give it a shot. And I've pushed myself every single day to get out there. And it's brought me more joy than I could have ever imagined.
Was moving to LA hard, or was it, you know, necessary or an easy decision to make?
I wouldn't say it was necessary, but at the time it was an easy decision. I knew I wanted to be out here because, like, there's more work out here and stuff like that. I have a buddy from Minnesota originally who was moving here. He's still my roommate to this day. We're also like best friends, and so that's cool too. The decision was easy. But then living here, it became very clear. It took a few years that, like, life here is a little bit harder in other ways than it is other places. Like, to make friends is very hard here. So you really have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. I keep saying that, but it's so true. Like, you have to, like, go places that might make you a little uncomfortable. Like, do things by yourself, join groups or clubs or whatever. Like, you have to really put yourself out there to, like, meet people here. And it took me years to figure that out. So that was the hardest part, I think.
How did you finally start putting yourself out there? How did you finally start making friends?
It was in I'm telling you, this trip was life-changing. It was in Death Valley.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was in Death Valley. And I remember there was this group that my dad actually told me about at my church. It was basically this like meetup where like young people like get together and for this like performance. There's like either a musical performance or something else, and it's a dinner, and it's every weekend. And I was like, you know, that terrified me. Like, first of all, I'd never been involved with anything like at a church, but like I was like, that going to that by myself just sounds terrifying. Well, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to that. And I did. And I met the most amazing friends, one of which is like one of my best friends now, who I surf with all the time and all this stuff. And so that opened that door. And then from there, I realized that saying yes to positive risks and like uncomfortable situations, positive ones, was something that I wanted to do more often. So like I joined a gym and I started meeting people, and I said yes to surfing, and that has led to meeting people and all these amazing opportunities. And so that's really kind of my mantra now, is to say yes to opportunities that come my way. And so it all started from that trip to Death Valley. It really did. It was such a life-changing experience for me.
It's funny how we can kind of trace back our lives to like certain defining moments. It's really
absolutely.
It's incredible that we can do that sometimes. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about this. You were saying putting yourself out there, you know, is a scary thing, and I think that's a really interesting parallel to, you know, you're on TV. You're in front of people, and I think people would think, oh, this guy must have like a lot of confidence. He must put himself out there all the time. And so I think that's interesting that maybe people wouldn't realize that it is hard for everybody. You know, it's hard.
Absolutely.
What about it for you is hard? What's, you know, I don't know about specifically, but.
You know, I think before I kind of discovered what I believe to be my like true self and identity, I just was so insecure all the time. Like, I didn't think like I didn't think I was good looking. I didn't think I had any skill in front of the camera. I was constantly, I remember I used to like write like little anecdotes and like jokes that I would hope would somehow fit into a situation on Rock the Park. Like, so like I thought like I'm a fake. So I need to like do all these things to like, to get by, you know, to fool people into thinking that I'm, you know, I belong on TV or I belong here. And then once I kind of discovered who I am, that's when I started to realize that like the complexities of who I am and like the, yeah, like the analytical side of me, the side of me that needs quiet and calm and self-reflection, the deep thinker inside of me, that is valuable. And that, that is like, that is me as my best self. And I was like, that's cool. That's an awesome thing. And so once I started realizing that those things are awesome, like that's when it all changed for me. And then I started to really blossom even on camera and personally in all these ways. I started to realize like, okay, I'm not shy. I don't lack like the ability to do these things. I was just trying to like be someone I'm not. So on camera, like I was trying to be this quick, witty, whatever. That's not me. I'm a liver of life. Like when I'm at my best, it's me just like totally in the moment. And it's, and so it really took discovering my true self to realize that those things that I used to think were weaknesses are really strengths. And then things have just exploded since then. And really, I feel I'm happier than I've ever been in my life.
What kind of experiences were you having, you know, as fake Jack?
Oh boy. I mean, like if you watch the show, mm-hmm. and hopefully someday we will have all of our seasons. We're actually starting a Rock the Park YouTube channel. And so we're going to be releasing all the episodes, not going to be all at once, but they're going to be coming out. So one day you'll be able to look at all these. I have had more hairstyles than some people have had in a lifetime. So if you watch these episodes, I've had all these different, and so that was something that was very, like, I was so self-conscious about my hair for whatever reason. Like I was just always like thinking like, oh, this is, I need to change it up. Like, so my looks has always been something that like fake Jack has been really consumed with and always trying to like, I don't know, like just like get by. Another part of me is that like, I used to try to project this persona that I was like, I don't know, much more, what's the word? I used to try to be much more like witty and like, and just like quick to like respond to things than I really am. But honestly, like part of what makes me like who I am is the fact that something will happen and I process it and then I respond to it. Like it might not be quick, but after I have like processed it, usually my take on whatever just happened is so much more meaningful and there's just much more weight to it. So like those are a couple of examples, but there's a lot of stuff for sure.
What, I guess this will be kind of like kind of a personal question, but you know, I know you said and it's obvious you've spent a lot of time, you know, taking care of your relationships and building your circle and, you know, really building up the people that you want to be around. How do you weed out the people that, you know, might, I don't know, not necessarily toxic, but might not be like conducive to your lifestyle?
Yeah, that's such a good question. You know, I've been blessed to have people like the more toxic people just automatically be pulled away from me in certain ways. And I was reflecting on this the other day. Whereas like some people in my life have just naturally drifted away, and it's not been because I have decided to distance myself or whatever. And those have been like absolute blessings to me. But from that, I've learned that, okay, yes, like there are certain people, and I will always be loving. I will always be there for anyone who reaches out to me if I can help them in some way. But there, I'm now starting to see like there are some people that I just don't need to have in my life. And I hope that in the future, I will be more intentional about making that decision myself rather than waiting for the damage to be done and then it naturally to happen. So I guess for me, like if it's a two-way street in some way, like I want to be in relationship with you, you know, like, you know, whether you're just a friend who lives in a random city that I don't see more than like once every couple of years, like mm-hmm. I love getting together with those types of people. If there's some sort of back and forth, but if it's just like a take, take, take all the time for me, that's when my red flags start to go off and I'm like, okay, you know what? We can, you know, I can distance myself a little bit from you because it's just not, it's not good for you, you know? Yeah. So I don't know if that answers it, but
no, absolutely. I think that for me was really hard to learn also, just, you know, growing into an adult. And I think I'm still, you know, I'm 33 and I'm still not quite an adult, I think, in a lot of ways.
You totally join the club.
But I enjoy not being a full adult. You know, I tell my kids all the time, you can be responsible without having to grow up. And I think absolutely. I really try to live my life that way. So that makes perfect sense. Yeah. It's really hard to say no to people. Especially if you're nice. Like if you're a nice person, it's even harder, you know.
Yes. Absolutely. It's so hard. It's so, yeah. Like that is one of my problems. You know, it's funny because I keep talking about saying yes, saying yes, saying yes. That can become a problem too. And I'm very much aware that like that's a struggle for me. So
have you had a moment where you said yes and, you know, completely regretted it and it turned into an awful situation?
Not yet. No.
That's good.
Thankfully, yeah, not yet. Because usually there's a difference between like, sure, I'll go do that or whatever. Yeah. Usually the bell that goes off in my head for like the yes moment is one where it's like, come on, you know you should do this. Like you might be afraid, but you know you should do it. And there's a difference between that sort of a yes and just like a, you know, whatever, like, do you want to go do this? And you're like, I know I shouldn't, but all right. You know, like there's a very difference between those two yeses. So I haven't had one of those big, like, come on, go for it moments, that hasn't turned into something, something meaningful in some way, you know, like they're not always the biggest things. Like, one of the days, a buddy of mine, who's really good at surfing, really good, invited me to come out with him. And I was like, I know this is going to be over my head. Like, I know this is like, I shouldn't like my skills aren't good enough to go where we're going. And I was like, you know what? This is one of those moments. Yes. I didn't ride one wave. This was a few months ago. So I didn't even ride one wave. I got like demolished. But I ended up hanging out with my buddy, getting to know him a little bit better, trying a new spot. And so when I left, I was like, sick. Now I've surfed here. I know what to expect. So there's always takeaways, even if you don't have that awesome moment where you're riding the wave and like, yeah, there's always a takeaway, I think.
I just love your positivity. I mean, yeah, no, really. I mean, you seem like such a positive person. I mean, I know you talked a lot about, you know, being in ruts and stuff, but it seems like you really kept that attitude though throughout it. You knew if you worked at it, things were going to get better. You knew if you, you know, just stuck with it and pushed through, things were going to get better. And you kind of had the self-awareness to go and figure that out. And I think a lot of people don't have that. Where do you think that came from?
So I will say that that is where I'm at right now. Like I said, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. I haven't always been this way. I've always been optimistic, but I haven't like, this has really been a journey for me. And so I haven't always been this way. And I'm so grateful that I am where I am now. But where did this come from? I think I'll say it again, you know, for me, like I believe in God. And so for me, that is where it comes from. Like I know like, you know, whether, no matter what you believe, whether you believe in karma or just the universe, I personally believe, you know, for me, I just happen to call it a different name. I believe that like, if you are putting in an effort and being present in the moment and finding gratitude, that like things will start to work out for you. And it might not be in ways that you're expecting, but I truly have faith that like, if I keep moving forward, that like good things are going to happen. You know, they might not be the things that you want, that like in your head, like that you want at the moment, you know? So like for me back when it was like, I wanted a girlfriend, but like, I wasn't ready for that. You know, like it happened later on, you know? So like, but now I know that like, okay, have faith, you know, just like keep moving forward and keep looking for those positive things and you will find them. And my life has just gotten better and better since I've done that. So like, I guess basically it's a belief that like, you know, good things are coming for me. I just got to hold on and wait for them, you know, and look for them.
What's been one of your, I know you said you haven't had like a big, huge, like obvious yes, but what's been like one of your most memorable yeses?
Well, I've gone on and on about this. So surfing's one, but then another big obvious yes. Let's see, there was one recently, but this one's not as well. I'll give you one that's a little bit more, that's had like some really positive things. Well, basically about a year ago, I had just gotten out of a relationship and it was not my choice. And I was very down and a lot of things were going on in my life. I was not in a good place. And I remember being so hurt and upset. And I had joined a gym, which was like brand new for me. I've always done my like physical stuff outdoors. I'd never been in a gym. Well, anyways, I walked into the gym just feeling awful. And I remember this girl asking me like, hey, do you want to do a free personal training session? And I know she was just like trying to sell me on it and all that stuff. But at the moment I was just like, no, I was like, no, I don't. And I actually said that, and that's unlike me. Normally I'd be much nicer. Like I was just like, no, I have no, I don't want to. She's like, come on, it could be, you know, it could be good or whatever, she said. And the bell went off in my head. I was like, it was like, say yes to that. And so I did. And long story short, she has been my trainer now for about a year, and I have grown to just love pushing myself in new ways by working out in the gym. I'm feeling better. I've lost weight. I've put on muscle. It legitimately brings me joy. That was one of those moments that has just absolutely grown into something that I could never have imagined. And it spawned from just this being in a really low place and having an opportunity come to me, one that I did not want to do at all, because I didn't even want to be around people. I wanted to just kind of be off in my own sad world. But I chose to do this thing that I knew would be good for me. And it's grown into something incredible. So that's a really notable one for me. And then there are all the other smaller ones that happen, but that was a pretty big one.
I know I told you I'd only keep you for like an hour or so.
No worries.
We're about to hit that up. So I did want to ask you one final question. what do you feel? You know, you're heading up to a park, or you're heading to a new adventure, or going to a place you haven't been or have been, maybe a favorite place. What do you feel like the moment that you step foot on that place?
Oh boy, I feel just a rush of joy. I think that's what it really is. I'm picturing in my mind stepping out of my car at my camp in Death Valley. And for me, it is just like absolute joy at the unknown that lies before me. It's always, you're always, when you put yourself out there, especially in nature, you're delivered something, I believe, that you are just not expecting. And I think that's why it's such a good picture of life. It's like, if you can just look out at whatever is ahead of you with just this sense of awe and wonder at the unknown that is laying before you, I think you are opening yourself up to real impactful experience. And so for me, when I arrive at a park, that is usually the feeling I get. It's this awe of just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what is about to happen, but it's going to be pretty good or scary. but usually that'll be good too in the end.
I love that. That's, you've given me so many good sound bites.
Good. No, well, hey, that's one thing I have been trained to do over the years. So,
oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. So I know I said that was going to be my last question, but I'm kind of curious now, you know, is that your favorite place, or, you know, because it sounds like it really holds like a special place in your heart.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Death Valley is it's my home away from home. And it's absolutely not just my favorite park, but it's like my favorite place to be. It's got so much power for me. Like it's, so many memories, so many impactful moments, and it's just an endless supply of just like inspiration. If you've never been, if you ever get the chance to go, I urge you to go. And not everyone is into the desert, but I really am. I connect with it, and it's such an alien landscape. It's just like, it's unlike any other place. So I love it.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, it really does. It means a lot to me, that you took the time out to be on, and I'm just so grateful to you for doing this for me.
Of course. Yeah. I'm humbled that you would ask. And like, I had a great time. It was a great conversation. I would love to do it anytime you want. So it was great.
Well, thank you. That's really nice of you to say, and I know you don't have to say that. So thank you.
Of course.
And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.